Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Worship and sing a song of praise. Come into His house of joy sustained. Living on Every Word.
God wants to save you. God wants to come and deliver you out of that fear and the worry from your life. Don't you wish you had a God like that? Folks, we have a God like that who comes to our aid, who responds to us. Now, folks, it may not change the situation, the circumstances immediately, but I want to tell you, He comes with a word to speak to your situation, to speak to your fear and to the worry that you often walk in this life.
Living on every word.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 14. I want to begin again with this text that we began with last week. If you're new to us today, we're in the midst of a series of messages on facing common temptations, facing the temptations of this life, the temptations of the enemy in our lives. We've been looking at a number of sins, a number of strongholds that people walk in and are tempted to do. We've looked at anger and we've looked at pride, looked at unbelief last week, and in context with the temptation for unbelief, I want us to look this morning at the common temptation to walk in worry and to walk in fear. Look at Matthew 14:22. Immediately He made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And after He had sent the multitudes away, He went up to the mountain by Himself to pray. And when it was evening, He was there alone. But the boat was already many stadia away from the land. Stadia is 600 feet. Many stadia away. Battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, He came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were frightened, troubled, the Greek says, and saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for what? They cried out for fear. Now notice what happens. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Let me ask you, don't you wish that when you were facing fear and worry and trial and trouble and situation and contrary winds and big time waves in your life, don't you wish you had somebody that could just come along and just say in a moment, "Take courage, it's I." Don't you know you have one like that? Don't you know that you have someone that will immediately, it says, folks, it doesn't say 10 minutes from now, 20 minutes from now, an hour from now, 2 days from now, immediately He speaks into their hearts, into their lives, and says, "No, I'm not a ghost, it's me, Christ, the living God. Take courage. It is I, it is me, right here in the waves." And as we saw last week, the waves didn't quiet down. The winds are still roaring. And yet He is speaking into their lives, speaking to the fear in their lives and the worry and the anxiety. And the Scripture says in verse 28 that Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." Do you notice how quickly they get their eyes off the storm and off the thought of a ghost? Peter does it in just a moment. He says, "Lord, if it's You, if it's really You, command me to come to You in the water." And He said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Verse 30, "But seeing the wind, He became afraid." He walked in a spirit and a moment of fear. And the Scripture says He began to sink. And as He was beginning to sink, He cried out saying, "Lord, save me." Look at verse 31. And immediately, folks, we have a God like that.
Amen.
Who comes to our aid, who responds to us. Now, folks, it may not change the situation or the circumstances immediately, but I want to tell you, He comes with a word to speak into your life, to your situation, to speak to your fear and to the worry that you often walk in and move through in this life. The Scripture speaks to this, and the Lord says, "Oh, you of little faith, why are you doubting me? Why are you doubting me and walking in this fear, looking at the winds, looking at the waves, getting your eyes off of me, and walking in such little faith? Why are you doubting? Didn't you see just a moment ago, Peter, that you were walking on water when you were fixing your eyes on me? Just a moment ago, Peter, just a moment ago, you were walking victoriously. But seeing your circumstances, seeing your trials, seeing the wind and the waves, what did you do? You became afraid. You walked in worry. You walked in fear. And I'm going to tell you, as God is my witness, as someone who has dealt with fear and worry all his life, when you walk in worry and fear, you begin to sink. You begin to sink. You've been there, haven't you? Some of you are there right now. You're sinking. And God wants to save you. God wants to come and deliver you out of that. Out of that, not specifically situation sometimes, eventually He will. But He wants to remove the fear and the worry from your life. When we look at this word fear from the New Testament, in the New Testament language, what is this fear? You know, like anger, fear is one of those words you don't really have to define. You just know what it is. You know what it is when it comes upon you. But to be consistent with where we've been, I want to define it. I get this definition out of Webster's original dictionary. When he wrote this dictionary, he used lots of scripture. I would suggest if you're teaching your children at home or if you're a student of the Word, get that dictionary. Find out where you can get it from. He says, fear is described as a painful emotion that is excited by the expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger. Fear is the uneasiness of mind upon the thought of future evil that would likely befall upon us. Notice what he speaks of when he speaks of this definition, just like all fear. It's always something that hasn't happened. You notice that? It's something that you think is impending, that's coming your way. You see a situation, you see a struggle, and you see what's happening, and all of a sudden you're walking in fear over something that really hasn't happened yet. Right? I mean, I think about the fears that people face, the fears that I have faced. And most of the fears that I have faced concerning those fears, those things, those assumptions have not happened in my life. And they hardly ever do. And so often we are fearing and worrying over something that probably will never happen to you. But if it so happens to you, you have a great and mighty God who is in control of all things and will bring you through whatever's happening in your life. And therefore, I don't have to fear about that either. Don't have to worry about that either. I want you to do something for me right now. I want you to take a piece of paper and a pen. I want you to write down your greatest fear or what you seem to worry about the most. Now, you might not have pen or paper, but think about it right now, okay? Just go on and write it down right where you are. What are you fearing right now? What are you worrying right now about? Then what I want you to do is next to that, I want you to put one of three things. I want you to put, I worry about this occasionally, I worry about this regularly, or I worry about this continually, okay? And I just want you to just kind of tuck that in your mind, tuck that in your Bible, or just kind of close by, because we're going to pull it out at the end of this service. I want to ask you, what do you fear? What are the fears on that paper? What are the fears that men and women face? You know, as a child, I worried about a whole lot of things. I worried and feared about not being dismissed from school at just the right time because I feared that I'd miss the bus. Finally, God delivered me from that when I was in 12th grade. No, I'm only kidding. I'm telling you, folks, did you know that not one time in my entire life have I ever missed the bus? Now, figuratively, I might have, okay? But a yellow school bus, I have never missed. And I want to tell you, second, third, and fourth grade, I worried. I look at the clock, have my watch, the clock in the hallway, and begin to fret if she would put us out on time. I tell you, when I went to a private school that dismissed at the bell and you just got up, I thought that was the greatest thing in life, that I didn't have to wait for somebody to dismiss me. I had this fear of getting stuck, see? And you know, I think these fears are things that in my life, I've already said in this moment, that they're things that have never really happened to me. When I think about the fears of my child, I feared that I would lose my parents. I feared of dying young and feared death. I worried about never getting married, never having children. I worried about getting sick. I feared storms, lightning, hurricanes, and thunder. I feared getting trapped in my bedroom by fire. You say, well, how in the world could you do that? Well, I didn't have a window. We did an add-on. And you know, one day, this is the truth. Well, I moved into this bedroom, excited about moving into this bedroom. And one day, I looked up at the ceiling, and I remembered that the story of the air conditioner man that fell through the roof right above my door. And I began to fret one day. Now, what if that air conditioner is up there, and we have a fire, and it comes down by the door and traps me in, and I suffocate and die? I tell you what, I had a little brother that we traded rooms 3 days later. It's crazy. It's crazy what we fear. It's crazy what we worry. And then, you know, we grow up and then the worry things kind of change. You worry about your children's safety. You worry about their moral and spiritual condition. You worry about how you're going to get them through college, how you're going to get them to the world to live a right and gracious and good life. And then there's the thought of the money problems and the financial struggles that we face. And some of you who work and have your own jobs and you don't have a regular paycheck, you worry, will this paycheck get me through? The worry and the fear. And the basic question that God has to ask me, has to ask you is, why are you afraid? Why are you doubting, oh little man, or man of little faith? Okay. Well, that was a slip. You know, when you introduce me to your friends, don't say, this is your little pastor, okay? All right. Okay. In my fear, in my worry, I doubt. I walk in unbelief. And that's how Christ addresses our fears. Why are you worried? Why are you walking in unbelief today? Why are you moving in this direction when I, the living God, am with you and you can take courage today? That you don't have to worry about another thing in this life. That I am with you and that I'm here. You know, Scripture says in Proverbs 29:25 that the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. It says that the fear of man, when I walk in fear, it will bring a snare to my life. But if I will trust in the Lord, the Scripture says that I will be exalted. So the question is, am I going to go through life trusting and believing God and being exalted with Christ to rule and reign? Or am I going to go through life fearful and worrying and getting the snare of the enemy all over my life to fall in his trap? The question we want to ask is, how do we escape this snare? That's what we've been talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. With every temptation comes a way of escape. Every temptation to fear and to worry, there comes a way to escape. Now, what does that look like? Or how do we find the escape that God has? I want you to see that, first of all, the basis for all my fear is the presumption of threat of loss. Okay? The presumption and threat of loss. You know, when I'm fearing something, when I walked in fearing dying young, there's a threat of me dying. And I feared that. I walked in a fear of that threat. Of course, we said just a moment ago, and we'll say it again in a few minutes, it never happened. See? And when it happens, it won't matter, will it, to me? I'll be straight in the throne room of God. So what am I fearing that about? But it's the basis, this presumption of threat and loss. When Peter began to sink, what did he fear for? He feared for his life. The Scripture speaks of Job losing his wealth, his children, and health. And in Job 3:25, he said this, "For what I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me." Job's fears was the loss of wealth, the loss of his children, and the loss of his health. Now, here was a blameless, righteous man that the Scripture says was blameless more than any man. But he had confesses something. After he loses everything that he has, and he's a wealthy man and has a lot to lose, and after he lost his children, every son and daughter, 10 children, in just a few moments of each other, the Scripture speaks, listen, this is what I've been fearing. This is what I've been dreading. And what I fear, it's come upon me. And what I dread befalls me. And you know what I want to say to that? When I look at a verse like that, it means, you know what? I want to go from this place today, never fearing again. Amen. Never dreading again. Because you see this principle at work. When the enemy came to tempt Job, where did he strike? He struck at his fears. He struck at his dreads. That which he dreaded, that which he feared. There's another great story in the New Testament that speaks of faithful stewards and unfaithful stewards. The unfaithful steward had a fear. In Matthew 25:25, when given the talent, Scripture says that he was afraid. He was afraid, so he went and he hid his talent. Afraid of his boss, afraid of his master. And so his fear was the loss of reputation and retribution through failure. Matthew 25:25, this is what he says, "I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." Now, how do we come to this point in this message and to say, okay, the basis of all my fears is the presumption in my life or the threat, either real or contrived, of losing something, losing my children, getting sick, getting cancer, dying young, losing my money, my home, not having enough money at the end of the month, all these worries, all these fears. How do I attack that? And it's only one way to attack it, with the belief, listen to this, with the belief of God's gain in your life. Not the loss in your life, but the presumption that God is a great God, that He does all things well, and that whatever He does, I can be certain that He is gaining His life in my life. That I have something to gain, something to lay hold of, something to receive from God. The God of the Bible is the Father who knows how to give good gifts to His children. So what I want to do is I want to wake up in the morning and I want to face these things in my life saying, no, I'm not going to presume that I'm going to lose anything today. What I'm going to presume on my great God that He has something great to give me. Even if the circumstances are sorry circumstances according to the carton. I believe that God wants to put gain in my life and not loss in my life. increase, not decrease, every day of my life. So that means what I do is I change my overall thinking about God. That God is not a God that just comes and just swipes you. He's a God that knows how to give good gifts to His children. Now, folks, this does not negate pain, suffering in this world, persecution for doing that which is right in this world. Doesn't negate those things. But what it does say is that even through the persecution and even through the pain and even through the struggle, there is a great God who is there that says, take courage, it is I. Be not afraid. I will lift you up. I will raise you up. I will exalt you if you'll trust me. But if you walk in fear, it'll be a snare to you the rest of your life. Philippians 1:21, Paul said this, for to me to live is Christ, watch this, to die is gain. Now, folks, I'm going to ask you, if dying is gain, do you think that maybe that's pretty much the worst thing that can happen to most of us today, is dying, right? Now, I think there's some other things. But from the flesh standpoint, he's got this perspective that says to die is gain. And I think if dying is gain for the Christian, then everything else I face in this life is also gain. Amen? Everything else is gain to him. To form what he desires to form in our lives. So what I do is I face this fear, this presumption. I say, I'm not going to presume that I'm going to lose it. I'm going to have a faith right now that I'm going to gain in Christ. And if dying is gain, then everything else that comes my way will be gain also. And then I have this belief that God is sovereign and that he does all things well. Now I want to ask this to those of us who just worry and fret about the world today. Do you think that God governed the world very well before you came into it? Let me ask you this other question. Do you think that he will govern the world very well when you leave it? Don't you think that you can trust him to govern it quite well as long as you live? As long as you live. We have a sovereign God today, folks, that we want to submit to and watch the glory of God unfold in our lives. We want to do that. And what we do is we face our fear with this belief of gain in Christ, that God is sovereign and that he is allowing the things in my life to form me into his image. That's the first principle. The second principle, as we understand the basis of our fears, understand what the basis of our trust is. The basis of our trust is that God's a God who gives, a God who is gracious and merciful. The second principle is be aware of the consequences of fear and worry. I've got a number of things on here. We're just going to look at the first one this morning. But the first one is you miss out on God's victory. The second one is you forget God and His work. The third is you fear. Fear can cause the denying of Christ. Fear often produces rebellion. Fear and worry prevents praise and worship. Fear hinders faith, and fear always spreads to the lives around us. You know that's true about that. You know, if you have small children and you start panicking, what's the child going to do? He's going to start panicking, isn't he? You know, I have a dog named Gunner that is a fraidy cat of the thunder. Whenever shotgun shells are going off, he gets scared. Now, a few years ago, my wife gave me Honey, the Labrador, right? You've seen the yellow lab. And we got her to hunt. And, you know, I'd take her hunting, I'd shoot over her, and she wasn't scared. But that she got to running with Gunner, and that whenever a gunshot went off or whenever thunder happened, she got scared. Gunner taught my dog, my gun dog, how to be scared to gunshot. I mean, and you know what? Every time that's happened, she wants to run when the thunder's happening, when there's shotgun shells going on. That's what he did to my hunting dog. But you know what? It happens in animals, folks. It happens with lives. When you walk in fear, it just spreads around. It just gets on everybody. And especially if you're a person of authority and a person like a parent or a person who's a leader and you walk through things and you're a teacher and you walk in fear. Listen, if you have a fire drill teachers and you walk in panic and fear, what are your students going to do? They're going to walk in panic and fear every time. And it spreads. The big thing that I think that happens in my life and your life is that every time I walk in fear and worry, I miss out on God's victory. I miss out on God's victory. There's a great story in Judges chapter 7, verses 1 through 21. Gideon had come to deliver the children of Israel out of the Midianites' hands. And Scripture says that he gathered all the fighting men to go against the camp of Midian to win a great victory. 32,000 men came that day. You know, the first question was God said to ask them, ask who's ever afraid, raise their hands. Whoever is afraid and trembling, go on and raise your hands. And so Scripture says that Gideon asked, oh, hey, how many of y'all are afraid today? Well, that guy, you know, just like fear and everything spreads, you know, the first guy raised his hand. 22,000 people raised their hands. You know what he told them? Y'all, I'm going home. You've just missed out on the greatest victory of your life. Going home. He goes on home. God says, listen, 10,000 is still too many. I don't want you to think that you did this by yourself. I want you to separate 300 men. And one of those acts of obedience, he separates 300 men. And you know what they do? They go into the camp of the Midianites with trumpets and gourds, and they smash them. They have three groups of men, 100 apiece, and they go around this camp, and they start blowing the trumpet and hitting the gourds. And you know what those Midianites do? They get up, and they start running for their life. And you know when they're running, they do it? They run, and they take their sword out, and they kill each other as they're running. Those 300 men didn't lift up a sword, didn't pull the sword from their sheath, didn't take a spear, didn't take a slingshot, didn't do any kind of strategy except blow a couple horns and put together a bunch of gourds, and that enemy fled. And do you know, because of the fear and the trembling of those 22,000 men, they missed the greatest victory of their lives. Every time we walk in fear, we miss out an opportunity to see God work in our lives, to see the victory at hand. Listen, when we don't make things right with others for fear of what they might say or do, do you know what we miss out? We miss out on the victory of restoration and unity that the Christ has come to give to the body of Christ. Some of you here today, you have moms and dads that you don't want to go back because you're afraid of going to try to make things right and ask for forgiveness or just say, hey, what's up? You know what? Because you're afraid of what they might say to you. And therefore, what do? You go week after week, month after month, year after year, walking in fear on how that person might respond. And you know what you've just done? You have missed out on the greatest virtue of the kingdom of God, and that is the unity of the church of the living God. You have missed out on that victory. Listen, when I don't confess my sin to someone for the fear of what they might think, I'll miss out on the victory of being set free from strongholds. When I don't stand up for my conviction for the fear of what might be said or done, I miss out on the victory of changed lives. I will tell you this. If you don't stand up for your convictions about what you believe in Christ because you fear what others might say, that you might be a hypocrite or you might be something else, do you know what you've done? You have missed out on the victory of the changed lives that your friends could have today. You miss out on that. Fear will do that. If I'll stand up in school, if I'll stand up at my job, if I'll stand up for the convictions, I'm not talking about knocking them in the head with the Bible and being rude and obnoxious. I'm talking about a changed life that will speak the life of Christ into other people. And when I walk in fear of that, I miss out on the victory of changed lives. You know, I'm reminded of Esther. When Esther was the queen of this king, and Haman was out to kill her people, to absolutely annihilate the Jews. And her uncle Mordecai said to her, Esther, listen, if you don't do this, someone else will do it. You know, if you don't go before this king, someone else will do it. But right now, if you don't go, you're going to perish. You're going to die. Don't think that this is going to not affect you. You will die and your father's house will die. Now, there will be deliverance because we believe that the deliverance of the Jewish people. But he says, but someone else will do it and you will miss out on the victory. So you know what she does? She calls for a fast for 3 days. She doesn't eat or drink anything for 3 days. And then she approaches the king. In those days, if you approached the king could kill you without an invitation. You had to have an invitation. And by the grace of God and the favor of God on her life, he reached out and touched her with that scepter, and she came in and she made her request, and she saved the whole nation of Israel because she walked in the courage and the faith of her great God. She walked in the face of death. She walked in the face of persecution, and she went straight to that king, and she appealed to her king, to the living God also, that would spare the children of Israel. Folks, when I don't go, when I don't move, because of fear and worry, I'll miss out on the victory of the advancement of the kingdom of God. Listen, when we keep silent about injustice, we miss out on the victory of God's justice. When we do not give what God has called us to give for fear or worry over smaller obligations, we miss out on the victory of God's blessing. You say, what do you mean about smaller obligations? Well, I want to tell you, is your mortgage a greater obligation than giving to the kingdom of God? Is it? No, the greatest obligation is to our God. And when I walk in fear and say, I can't give because of these other obligations in my life, do you know what you've done? You've walked in fear that God's not going to provide for the smaller obligations, and you miss out on God's ultimate blessings. You've seen it in your life. We've all seen it. We've all seen the patterns. Listen, when we don't share our burden for the fear of what others might think, we miss out on the victory of body life, of people coming together. When we don't share in others' lives for the fear of rejection or a broken heart again, we miss out on the victory of Christ in their lives. When we do not give ourselves totally to God for the fear of where He might send us or what He might do, we've missed out on the victory of God's purposes for our lives. And when we don't trust ourselves totally to God, but fear the loss of life, health, and stuff, we've missed out on the victory of God's peace. I want to ask you, what are you missing out on today because of your fear? What are you missing out? Are you missing out on God's peace, God's purposes, Christ in your life, the victory of body life, the victory of God's blessings, of God's justice, of the advancement of the kingdom, of the victory of changed lives, of the strongholds in your life, and the victory of restoration and unity? What are you fearing today, folks? Why are you afraid? We have a God. We have a God who's greater, who is greater than any difficulty that you're going through. And every time I fear and worry, and I'm saying this by experience, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying that situation is a whole lot bigger than my God. And I want to say this, my God is a whole lot bigger than this situation. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? I want to remind you of what you wrote down at the beginning of this sermon. What do you fear? And do you fear it occasionally? Or do you feel it regularly? Or continually? Can I tell you this, folks? Occasionally is too much. It's too much. Now, folks, if you want to be free from worry and fear today, you'll be free from worry and fear today. You just say, God, I've walked in fear and worry over these things, and I've missed out on your victory. And I'm asking you to forgive me right now. Did you do that right now? Lord, we fretted over something that probably will never happen to us. But even if it does, you're bigger than the happening. And Lord, we want to trust you as the living God that gives and provides gain for us. I thank you, Lord. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I turn from this sin of fear and worry. I remove it from my life by the power of the Spirit of God. I will not walk in agreement with this fear and this worry. I trust you today. You're a sovereign God, and you've governed the world very well before me. You'll do it after me, and you are very well to do it now. You do all things well. Lord, would you set me free today from a worrying and from a fear that I might trust and obey, that I might believe. And God, I come to you just as I am. Just as I am. Now, I would pray, folks, that you would appeal to God and pray to God just like that. And that you would watch the worry and the fear disappear from your life. Would you do that right now? Lord, I want to pray that as they have prayed just a moment ago unto you, I want to pray that you would rebuke the spirit of fear and worry upon their lives right now. I want to pray, God, that you'd remove it completely. There are some here that struggle because of health issues. Father, I want to ask that you just speak to their heart and say, take courage, it is I. I want to increase your faith. There's others here that have loved ones, Father, that are struggling. And Lord, I want to ask right now that you would just bring to them a peace of mind. Maybe that wayward son or daughter or grandson. Maybe that wayward mother or father. Lord, I want to ask in Jesus' name that you'd come, you'd fill their hearts right now with a spirit of faith to believe. To believe right now for the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, there's others that just are struggling from day to day about their daily life. And I want to ask, Lord, right now that you'd remove the fear and the worry from them in the name of Christ. And Father, that you'd remove the presumption of loss and you'd place within them just this expectation of gain.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929 or you can visit us on the web at livingoneveryword.org. Just as man does.